Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio Show, By the Book. By the Book is brought to you by Rave Reviews Book Club. I'm your host, Sam Polakoff, broadcasting live from Charm City, otherwise known as Baltimore, Maryland. This segment of By the Book is sponsored by The Dead Game by Suzanne Leist. If you are an author and are interested in having a commercial created for your book to air on one of our shows, just visit the Rave Reviews Book Club website and click on the Rave Reviews tab. It's a fantastic way to promote your books. You can find the book club's website at ravereviewsbookclub.wordpress.com. Joining us today from Sterling Heights, Michigan is John Podlasky, the author of Cherries, a Vietnam War novel. Listeners, if you have any questions or comments for John, please feel free to join in on Twitter by using the hashtag RRBCByTheBook. That's hashtag RRBCBUYTheBook. If you pre-registered your phone number, feel free to call in with your questions or comments. Now let's meet John. John is an award-winning author who served in Vietnam during 1970 and 1971 as an infantryman with both the 25th Division and the 101st Airborne Division. John was awarded the Combat Infantry Badge, the Bronze Star, two Air Medals, and a Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry. John, on behalf of RRBC and RISA, we're glad to have you with us. First and foremost, thank you for your service to our great country. Okay. I have some technical difficulties. Stand by a moment. John, you with us?
John's here.
John's here. Okay. Say hi to our audience.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Pleasure to be here with you, Sam, and everybody else.
Well, thanks. We're glad to have you here. John, let our audience get to know who you are. Who's John Podlasky, the person behind the writing? In 60 seconds, give us a snapshot of how you spend your time when you aren't writing great historical fiction.
I'm an avid book reader. I probably read 50 to 75 books a year. Now that I've gotten into RRBC, I'm starting to read a little bit more because of some of the opportunities to get into the short stories and other venues, genres that I don't normally read. We've got a new two-year-old grandbaby that's keeping us busy and watch her while my daughter works 40 hours a week, so she's quite a handful and keeps us moving.
And you said you retired in 2013, right? You were in the automotive supply industry?
I was in automotive supplier management, plant managers, operation manager type scenario until my last 2-3 years in working, where I was in supply chain management and sales for a company in Belgium.
Now that's great. That's great. So quite a diverse background. And one more thing before we get onto your book, and this is special, so I think we should mention it. You were married, or you are married, to your wife, Janice, for how many years?
1973, so we're on 47 years.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I just wanted to congratulate you on that, you and your wife, because that is a throwback to another time, and I applaud that. So I'm glad you're together, and I'm glad you're happy. So today we're going to talk about Cherries. This is a book that is about the Vietnam War. It's based on your own experience. And if you could, give the audience a brief summary of the book.
Well, it kind of gets into the minutia of what happens when a young, frightened teenager goes to war. In this particular case, many of us grew up watching Vietnam on TV every night at dinner time. And when I got drafted, I spent 6 months in the service training, and then I was sent over to Vietnam. These 18-year-old kids had a lot to learn because we were called Cherries, virgins, I guess, a different name, because we had no idea what was going on. The old-timers that have been there for a while avoid you because they think you're a liability. And you have to do whatever you can do to gain their trust. When your first firefight happens, that's when you are going to go through a pronounced change that will last you forever. It's a combination of the fear of the fight, in addition to what you see and what you hear during and after the fight.
Well, tell me, John, take what you just said right there, and tell the audience how you carve those experiences into a book. Tell us about the story that you wrote.
The way that the cherries came about was my mother, after we'd been married 3 years, my mother went ahead and presented us with every letter that I'd written home while I was overseas. And that was something that we spent the afternoon just going through these letters, and my wife had a lot of questions for me. And it got to the point, well, can you write some of this stuff down? Here's questions, write some answers so I can better understand what you went through. And one thing led to another, and before you know it, I was on the way to writing a book. Fortunately, at that time, it was on typewriters. So I had a waist-high stack of papers in the corner of the office. Went through a lot of carbon paper, but that was a really trying time to go ahead and edit something, because then you had to retype the whole chapter. It wasn't something just deleting and replacing. I've gotten a lot of kudos from the book, especially from family members, because a lot of the Vietnam vets did not want to talk, or still don't want to talk about their experience there, because of fear that whoever they're talking to, these people are not going to understand. And the amount of detail that I go through in this book, which, by the way, took me 30 years to write. Mm. It got put away for a little bit. My initial story was in the first person, and a publisher agreed to publish it if I was to rewrite it in the third person point of view, which I did. I got halfway through, and then I ended up having to put it away because I wasn't seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. But a lot of the things that I brought out allow some of these family members now to have conversations with their spouses, and get them to the spouses and thank me for putting on paper what they weren't able to tell. Some of the modern day veterans as well, Afghan, Iraq, they tell me that if I was to replace spiders and snakes and rice paddies for sand and ticks and other things, it could be their story as well. So, It's quite educational for non-military people.
Well, it sounds like you've captured the spirit of the experience well. Who's the main character in Cherries? You've got a fictitious character, I'm sure. What's his name, and is he fashioned after you?
Well, his name is John Kowalski, okay. And they call him Polak.
Okay.
Which is actually tailored after me. I maintain a diary while I was in Vietnam. And between the letters and the diary and my wife's questions and so forth, that's how Cherries came about.
Okay. Yeah, that's fascinating. Now, I'm going to come back to something you said a moment ago, John, if I could. And I'm going to use your words. This is something I read from preparation for today's interview. You wrote, "When coming under enemy fire and witnessing death firsthand, a life-changing transition begins, one that can't be reversed." So tell the audience a bit more about what exactly does that mean, it can't be reversed, that change, and how it affected your writing?
Well, it's a horrible event, and which results in PTSD, something that you just can't forget. there's been posters out or memes saying, "I wish I could forget what I saw," and it's impossible. So those things that you had to live with, all the preparation, all the training and everything for Vietnam, did not prepare the soldiers for what they were going to see and what they were going to experience, let alone fighting a war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine it was horrible. And you've spent the better part of your life sort of in an advocacy position for Vietnam War vets. Can you tell us a little bit about that effort?
Well, I maintain a website, and I try to, well, I'm also a lifetime member of Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 154. I've been with them since 1986. So again, you've got the camaraderie of fellow soldiers that serve time with you and experience the same thing with you. Those were people that when you tell stories can relate. And lost my train of thought. Sorry, Sam.
That's okay. Do you still get together with those fellows, any of them that you served with?
Oh, I have the website that I maintain, and it's more of an educational website and one to maintain the legacy of Vietnam vets. So everything on there is Vietnam veteran or the Vietnam War associated. I have a lot of guest contributors that have told their stories. I've written a lot of things on my own to introduce there as well. There's a lot of my pictures. I've put slideshows together. Quite educational. I've got 3.5 million hits so far since it's been online, an average pretty close to around 1,200 to 1,500 hits a day.
Mm, that's quite a testimonial. People are finding good information there. I did take a look at that site, and it is quite comprehensive and has an amazing amount of interesting things to look at. What is the website, John? Is it just johnpodlasky.com? I forget.
It's it's just cherrieswriter.com.
That's good. So we'll encourage our audience to take a look at that and see what they can learn about the Vietnam War and the experience and, of course, John's books, which are part of the RRBC and RISA catalogs. John, let's take a minute and see what's happening on Twitter. Wendy says, it's awesome that you had all your letters from the war. And she asks, how did it make you feel reading them again?
Kind of convoluted, I guess, because all the letters that I wrote home were kind of whitewashed, for lack of a better word, because I didn't want to get everybody worried back home and share a lot of with what was actually happening. I tended to work around it. I was very vague and never let them know I was in trouble or afraid of something.
Yeah, so it must have been quite stirring to read these letters again after so many years. So, John, you've published 3 books. Are they all about the Vietnam War?
Just 2 of them. The second book I wrote, which I was on one of the earlier Block Talk radio shows, When Can I Stop Running?, is a Vietnam book, but it's also mixed with some anecdotes of when I was young and when I was afraid of certain things. But they all relate to that this one night, 200 meters away from a firebase perimeter, hiding in the bushes to report any enemy soldiers around. And it was quite a night. One that I'll never forget. The third book is about 2 14-year-old boys who get an opportunity to work a day at the drive-in theater in exchange to watch a movie and get a bunch of free stuff at night, popcorn, hot dogs, that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, the movie that they were going to watch and they didn't know was Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, that's a classic.
Back in 1986, I think it was, when this was dated, nobody heard of zombies yet. You know, and all the movies that the kids saw at that time were Gorgo and The Blob and giant spiders, those kind of things that resulted from atomic blasts somewhere. And they're sitting by themselves, and this experience just haunts them, and then they have to walk a mile and a half to go home at night. But there's some bravado in there, and it's an enjoyable book. It's a short read. It only takes 10 minutes.
Well, I can tell you, when I think back to the 80s and horror movies that I thought had great special effects, and I watched them as an adult with my kids, they just go, "Dad, that's so lame." But at the time, they seem pretty cool. And so that's good. I'm glad you've had some diversity in your writing. I want to come back to the war, though, for a minute. If you look back and had to pick one positive thing and one negative thing about your war experience, what would they be and why?
Well, the positive thing that came out of it was I learned how to become a leader. My last 2 weeks in country in Vietnam, I had a brand new lieutenant assigned to me, and it was pretty much I had to show him the ropes. And even though he went to ROTC and he learned about the war, he was just like any other Cherry, ignorant, didn't know, was going to follow the book and such, and he didn't know the cues and a lot of the other things that we learned in 11 and a half months that I'd been there. Unfortunately for these soldiers that fought in that war, you were there for 12 months. Marines were there for 13. And when you learned everything and knew how to survive and knew the enemy, it was time to go home. And you're replaced by somebody brand new. So that continued to go over and over. Well, I taught this lieutenant the ropes, so much so that when I came back from Vietnam, I had a 6 months left at Fort Hood, and I was in charge of a communications group that serviced APCs for a division. So again, that was the start of my leadership, which then followed me. After the service, I went back to where I worked for a company, and because of the kudos I received in many of the reports and letters that I had, I was immediately promoted to a supervisor, and I was a white-collar worker from that point on for the next 40-some years.
Good fundamental learning in the military. And so if you had a negative experience from the war, what would that be and why?
Well, the negative comes after the fact. I don't know. A lot of people have heard about Agent Orange. And Agent Orange affected everybody because it was in the water, it was on the ground, it was in the leaves and everything. And we drank water out of streams and bomb craters and so on. And here we are 30 years later, we're suffering the effects of that, and soldiers are dying because of the effects attributed to this defoliant. And there's 13 different illnesses that the VA recognizes as being caused by Agent Orange, and they're taking care of the veterans, helping them through this time.
I can understand how that had a profound and lasting effect on anyone that served during that time. And certainly we've read about Agent Orange, and it was a terrible and debilitating thing to experience. So, I mean, this kind of makes me wonder, John, was there a specific moment while you were going through the war that where you said, "Hey, I'm going to write a book about this stuff one day"?
I Could you ask that again, please? Slow down a little.
No problem. I said, was there a specific moment during the war when you kind of had this revelation and you said to yourself, I'm going to write a book about this stuff one day?
Not so much in Vietnam, but after Vietnam, when I had a 30-day leave before I was going to Fort Hood, I would stop with some former classmates that I had graduated with a couple years earlier and tell the stories. And I did say to a couple of them, because they reminded me even recently of our conversations on their front porch, that one day I'm going to write about all this.
So, John, I'm just looking at Twitter, and Wendy asks, was the diary you had your full account, or were there gaps in it?
That it was pretty much bullet points, but the bullet points were enough to jog my memory of what actually happened on that particular day. There are some bare spots through there where I was unable to make entries for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
But it pretty much encapsulated the entire year.
That's great. That's great. So, John, as a member of the RRBC community, how has your membership in this organization benefited you as a writer?
Oh, it's expanding my, by opening my eyes to other genres and reading things that I normally would not be comfortable reading or even interested in, and finding that, wow, that was pretty good. You know, I got to look up another one. But the community itself, when I get on Twitter, it's 90% of what I see on my page is all RRBC promoted, promoting me, promoting my works and other offers. And I spend a lot of time retweeting all of those tweets to try and give back what I'm getting. But again, I just was accepted into RISA,
mm-hmm.
and I hope to get a little bit deeper there. I've got a couple other works I'm working on right now that I should be able to get some help from the rest of my associates on RRBC.
Absolutely. And for the audience, RISA is the Rave Writers International Society of Authors, where hundreds have applied for membership, and they have about 50 members. So, John, you're in good company, and it's a special podium to stand upon to be a member of RISA. So congratulations for that. And let's see if we have anything else coming in from Twitter. I don't see any other comments or questions at the moment. RISA, you were admitted to RISA when, John?
Probably within the last month.
Okay, good. Well, I think you'll find, too, there's a lot of support there and a lot of ability to expand your writing. You mentioned you were working on something new. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's another short story. And this one happened when I came home from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
I already developed a cover for it. I've got a title. It's called Unwelcomed. And it's about an intruder that tries to break in our home.
Hmm, boy, that sounds like an interesting subject. When do you think you'll have that out there for the world to see?
Well, hopefully within the next couple months.
Sounds great. I look forward to that. Do you have any writing or life advice for our listeners, John?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that one.
That's okay. Do you have any writing or life advice for our listeners?
There are so much opportunities and so many stories. Going back to Vietnam, there was only 2.7 million people that actually served in country during the time from 55 until 75, so over a period of 20 years. And it's always said that if you have two people next to each other witnessing the same thing, the story that they'll tell is not going to be identical. It's going to be different. So no matter what your experience or what you think happened, it's always good to sit down and write it out, and you'll be surprised how other people are interested in reading those things that have happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good advice. Good advice. So, John, since this program is called By the Book, and we do things by the book, tell us why our listening audience should run out and buy Cherry's A Vietnam War Novel.
Well, again, with all the wars that are taking place and people still battling and soldiers still coming home, it will give readers an understanding of what these young soldiers go through. Today's military is the group of, I'll say, kids that grew up with video games and playing the military shoot 'em up and bombs and so on. When they get into war, they find out, man, it's not like that at all. And they come back because of when they come back, they find that they have dreams and nightmares and emotional concerns. The death rate right now from people that commit suicide, there's roughly 22 veterans a day that are committing suicide, and this goes back to Vietnam to current. And there's a reason for that. If you were to buy Cherry's, because it's so detailed, it will show you what I personally went through for a year, but it could also represent today's soldier and what they may be going through as well, so that when they do come home, people will then better understand that soldier, that he's not the same person that he went over to battle with. He's changed. And you'll understand why he changed and then be able to associate with him better than not.
Well, John, I think that sounds great, and I really appreciate you sharing that. Everyone should go out and buy a copy of Cherry's, A Vietnam War Novel. And John, we're just about out of time, so I want to thank you so much for visiting with us today and letting us get to know you better on Buy the Book. Okay, listeners, I'd like now to share with you a couple of other titles befitting the name of this program. These books are highly recommended, so you'll want to head to Amazon or where you buy books legally, and pick up copies of these two gems. The first title is Bravura by Lisa Karazian, and the second title is Amulet's Rapture by Linnea Turner. These books are listed in the RISA catalog at ravewriters.wordpress.com, categorized by the author's last name. Both authors are members of the very exclusive RISA. Okay, now it's time to pay some bills. Today's sponsor is The Dead Game by Suzanne Leist.
The Dead Game by Suzanne Leist. After graduating college, Linda Bennett leaves New York for the slower-paced lifestyle of Oasis, Florida. She opens a bookstore and makes new friends. Life is simple until a dead body washes up on shore. She is horrified to learn that dead bodies and disappearing tourists are common for this small town. Once the sun sets, the town becomes a haven for evil and dark shadows. Linda receives an unsigned invitation to a deserted house. She goes, but barely escapes with her life. It's now up to her to research out the evil controlling this once idyllic community. But who can she trust? The Dead Game by Suzanne Leist is book one in a series. At stake are the lives of residents and tourists who simply want a peaceful life. Will the protagonist prevail in her efforts to end the terror? The Dead Game by Suzanne Leist is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback formats. Pick up your copy today.
You can find The Dead Game in the RRBC catalog. Try sinking your teeth into it and share your review. Once again, I'd like to thank my guest, author John Podlasky, for being part of our show today. John, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. And I'd also like to thank those of you who participated today from our Twitter audience. Your presence is always appreciated. Remember, if you miss a live show, you can always find each and every episode in the Rave Waves archive. This is your host, Sam Polakoff, thanking you for tuning in today to Buy the Book, a Rave Waves production. Be sure to join us next time for another exciting episode of Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio, where all things literary are our passion. Have a great weekend, everyone.